let's double your business revenue. How? Arian helps you save time and money by helping you through your employment challenges. A recent study revealed that organizations like Arian can help you double your revenue by handling your HR tasks like payroll, benefits, onboarding, and compliance. With Arian as your HR partner, you'll also experience more productivity, better benefits, and mitigated risk, all while doing what you love to do, your business. Start increasing your revenue. Visit AureOn.com.
RE/MAX Concepts not only understands the real estate market, their highly skilled professionals are always on duty to ensure your home buying or selling experience is positive. The professionals at RE/MAX Concepts offer you ways to beat other home buyers into the home of your dreams through the Home Finder system. Get to what is hot now. Don't wait. Learn more at realestateconcepts.net. realestateconcepts.net for home buying and selling. Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Arian, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits. AureOn.com. RE/MAX Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealestateConcepts.net.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Our guest is Todd Ashby. He is the director of the Metropolitan Planning Organization, or MPO. We're about to get into the issue that's so critical to business and all of our lives, and that is transportation. Todd, thanks so much for coming by and being part of the Business News Hour as we go out to lunch. So tell us, what is the MPO, and what is it you do?
Well, thanks for having me. It's appreciate the opportunity. Well, the MPO, as we call it, is organizations that made up of all the local communities, cities and counties in the metro. And their basic mission is to work on transportation projects, roads, bridges, trails, pedestrian issues, transit, those type of things.
And this has different modalities involved with it as well, not just roads and bridges, but we talk about cycling and the trail system that we have. There's even steps, I understand, about road dieting and opportunities to bring more people out of the vehicular traffic, if you will,
correct,
and into other modes of transport.
Yes, we always look at kind of best practices for communities, bring different ideas to them, and you know, certain roads fit for a road diet, certain roads don't. But where there's an opportunity that they might want to look at those design changes, we provide some information on how they might best go about that. And then it's up to the community to decide if that's a fit for them on changing lane widths, adding sidewalks, bike paths, those type of things, bike lanes, those issues.
And this whole process of looking how we move from point A to point B has really been changing over the past decade and a half or so, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten to a point, it's tough to add enough capacity for vehicles to move all those through the system in certain locations. So how can we best move people as opposed to cars is kind of the new thinking. And so that's looking at all those different modes as kind of a whole system together and moving those people from point A to point B as opposed to moving vehicles.
You know, when I first heard about this, Todd, I thought that this sounded a lot, ecologically balanced, and it sounded like one of those sustainable living types of things. And in some points, it really is.
It can be.
But the other part, I think, that many people don't understand is the direct impact that so many of these transportation opportunities are really about economic development.
Yeah, it is providing better access to different amenities and facilities, using our resources better as far as where we're spending money on projects and getting the best bang for our buck. So it's that return on investment that we're after on when we do a transportation project and how can we best make use of the money that we're given.
We're out to lunch with Todd Ashby, ladies and gentlemen, from the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Those who know them well just call the MPO. And we are at the original Jesse's Embers. That's what all of the background noise is all about. Todd, how did you come to the MPO?
I was working for a DOT and an MPO in Kansas City previously, and then a consulting agency after that, and position came open, and found myself back in the MPO world and really enjoy it. Grew up in the area originally, and so it's fun to be back and working with different communities.
Now, when you look at Kansas City, of course, that's been some time ago, versus a place like the Des Moines Metro. Are there similarities and differences?
Oh, certainly. Both have their, you know, their very dense urban areas, and then some more suburban and then rural areas in the metro area. And so they all have different needs and different ways they want to approach things. So it's finding the right mix and working across each of those areas.
When we started into this whole process of you coming to Des Moines and heading up the MPO, what were some of the challenges that you faced right away? Was it rethinking some things? And we're going to get into specifics later, but just generally.
I think you're always looking for money for projects. Everybody is. So looking at new ways to make the money go a little further. And then just, I think Des Moines seen such great growth, the region, figuring out how we're going to accommodate the number of people we see coming along, as well as the number of jobs as well.
You and I just got back, less than just a couple of days ago, from the annual Greater Des Moines Partnership DMDC event.
Yep.
That's where about 200 business leaders, civic leaders, converge in Washington, D.C. to listen and learn and engage, our congressional delegation.
Yeah.
Why is that so important for MPO to be part of that?
Well, I think it's important that we keep our transportation priorities in front of our congressional delegation so they know what are those key projects or key corridors that we're looking at developing and where they can help us out through, whether it's funding or just helping us get through the federal process, which can be quite extensive at times. So they know where those things are at and keep them updated, and it's beneficial to hear from them as well what things are potentially coming up as far as legislation or different people to talk to make sure projects happen in the best possible time.
You know, that's one of the things I think many individuals, when we start talking about politics, it can be very divisive. But I've learned over the years that this trip to Washington, D.C., really can unite on a single focus. It's not quite as divisive in D.C. as it would seem if you're watching some media channels.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, the group that goes out there has a very good message together. I mean, everybody has their projects that they want to talk about, but there's a common thread through all those, and the partnership puts together their priorities that everybody's kind of talking around. And so I think that unites our delegation in knowing that these are the things that are important to Central Iowa, and it helps a lot in getting those things through.
And above just the opportunity to meet one-on-one with delegation, with congressional staff, those types of, it really helps to cement a bond between thought leaders and progressive individuals who come from Central Iowa. Would
certainly.
You agree?
Well, certainly. You're together basically 24/7 for those 3 days. It's a fun trip, but it's a very intense trip. And so you're together for a long periods during those days, and so you get to chat with people, find your common interests and common things you have about you, and it's a great way to get to know people.
You mentioned funding earlier in this conversation about D.C. and our trip there. What funding challenges does the MPO face on a regular basis? Do you get funding from the state, for example? Where does the money come from?
We get very little state funding directly. Most of our funding comes from the federal government through the gas tax that you pay at the pump. We get a portion of that back. And then our operating budget comes from our member governments and the federal government. So our member governments pay an assessment. And then we also get most of, like I said, about 90% of our funding is through the federal government.
Yeah, I was in a transportation committee meeting, I believe, with you. And we heard from Senator Grassley's office that don't count on any more funds being dumped into the gas tax area because it is a tax, and this Congress seems to think of that as an anathema.
Yeah, the federal gas tax portion, which is, I believe, at 18 cents currently, hasn't been changed for 20-plus years. And I wouldn't look at it to be changed probably anytime soon, as Grassley's staff alluded to. It's a bit of a political hot potato in D.C. anyway.
But one of the other interesting things, and I talked with Kevin Foley on the last day that I was there, we were talking about transportation and aircraft. And I don't know if you swing into that area much or not. I suspect that you have conversations on a regular basis with the International Airport here and Kevin. But that was the passenger utilization fee that is being talked about.
Yeah.
And while it's not a tax necessarily. It's been apparently sold to Congress as a tax, yeah. And so they're not very interested in raising that either. Is that accurate?
Yeah, the passenger facility charge, as it's called, currently sits around $4, and a lot of airports would like to increase it so they could do capital projects like Des Moines and Kevin to build a new terminal in the Des Moines case. And it hasn't been advanced in a long time either. And Congress currently sees it as a tax and isn't very interested in being increasing a tax. So,
Even though it's a user fee.
Yeah, the passenger pays it, or the person buying the ticket pays it. But
sometimes it depends on who gets to Congress first.
True. That's very true.
Any surprises come out of this trip to D.C. for you?
I wouldn't say any huge surprises. It was kind of a confirmation of where some things were at. Though there is some movement on what we used to be called the Tiger Program. It's now called the Build Program. It's grants for projects. Des Moines recently got one for their downtown bridges project, about $8 or $9 million. Those will be coming. A round of funding will be coming available for that soon. So we learned a little bit more about that process and how we can better make applications to that.
We're visiting with Todd Ashby as we go out to lunch with the Business News Hour here at the original Jesse's Embers Restaurant. This is a great place.
Yes. It is.
It's just
the
really
woodwork
cozy.
Is great. Yeah.
Yeah, the woodwork. You know, I was talking to Dina when we set all of this up, and I said, you know, one of the cool things about this reminds me of little bars and restaurants that you might see in Chicago or New York.
Very much.
Yeah. Very small, very intimate. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty cool. We're talking with Todd Ashby, ladies and gentlemen. When we go to bridges and things like that, and we're doing a lot of construction here in the greater downtown Des Moines area, there was a recent bridge addition or revitalization, if you will, of a pedestrian bridge from one side of the river to the other side of the river. I know that private funds were raised to support that project. Some public money was involved in that. Mostly it's a pedestrian bridge / bicycle lane. How important are the 700-plus miles of bicycle trails and bridges to the economics of a place like Des Moines?
Oh, I think they're hugely important because they not only provide a recreational opportunity and a business opportunity for local residents, they draw people from across the country and frankly, from international destinations to Des Moines because they've seen the High Trestle Trail or the Raccoon Valley Trail and want to come experience those areas and see what they're all about. And then they visit all the bars and cafes and shops along those trails. So it's a very big economic driver for the region.
You know, I've seen some of these, Redfield, for example. Well, there's a number of communities out there that have blossomed now that the trail system that used to be perhaps a railroad track goes through their community, and all of these shops and restaurants and other activity things are springing up in some of these towns that were just about dead.
Yeah, it provides a nice boost to those local economies with, a little bike repair shop or a cafe or what have you, that they wouldn't have, hundreds of people coming through their community without those trails being in place.
Have you seen, by the way, as long as we're talking about bicycles, I tried one just the other day, the electric assist bicycles. Mm-hmm. You tried one?
Yeah, we have one in our office, actually.
Get out of here. Oh, that's right. Gunner.
Yeah.
Sometimes rides
Well, he
on
rides
it.
One, but we have one at the MPO that we use to collect data about the pavement conditions of the trails.
Ah.
Called the data bike.
The
original
data
name,
bike.
I know. But it's an electric assist bike that captures pavement conditions as well as the 360 images of the trail. So we've actually worked with Google on, instead of like Street View, we've got Trail View. So you can go out and look at all our trails online.
And we're going to talk, when we come back in the next segment, Todd, we're going to be talking about water and the next adventure, I think, for not only the Des Moines Metro, but much of Iowa as we look at our waterways as transportation opportunities economic development opportunities and the like. And we've got some other questions after we eat lunch.
It sounds
at,
good.
The original Jesse's Embers. Todd, thanks for doing this.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Click through to part two, where we talk about another whole set of transportation issues and economic development for our region and beyond. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour, out to lunch.